Now the invasion is a progressive invasion. In Psalms 103, we read here about the benefits of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. The benefits of the kingdom of God: he forgives all our iniquities, he heals all our diseases. He has declared that that is a benefit of the kingdom of God. And tonight, as we speak in our healing service tonight, we're going to talk about those benefits, about the benefit of healing, that Jesus has already paid the price for that, and that we can appropriate that by faith in Jesus' name. But the invasion is progressive. Now notice some of the things that are being taken care of at the cross and when Jesus was whipped. Isaiah 53 says, by the stripes of Jesus, the beatings that he has taken, we are healed. So these things are being paid for. But we notice in 1 Corinthians 15, 26, that the last enemy to be defeated is death. You know, there's going to be a time when there'll be no more death. No more death. We'll never have to go experience the loss of death again. There is a time coming, according to the Word of God. The last enemy, and by the way, death is an enemy. Death is something that happens to stop the progression of God, what God intended it to be. So the invasion is progressive. So don't ever get discouraged if some of the things that you're believing God, you're asking for and so forth, if it's not coming immediately, things are progressive in the kingdom of God. There's things that can take place today. There's things that'll take place tomorrow. But the invasion has begun. Say, the invasion has begun. Now, it all consummates in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. It's wonderful when the kingdom of God completely comes and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. That's when the kingdom of heaven comes and totally covers the earth. What that means is the influence of heaven totally covers the earth. And it's not as if earth is done away with, but the environment of heaven now rests on earth and the authority, and earth begins to get its direction and influence from heaven, to the point that it will even affect the natural realm, where I believe that even the trees, all the trees that die because of one thing or another, some disease, all these things will be brought back to life again. And there'll be such an environment that it will cause life to live everywhere. And people will be prone to do the good and shun the evil because of the environment of heaven. It's an ever-increasing kingdom of God coming to earth. And you and I are involved in advancing that kingdom, causing the shadow of heaven to overshadow earth. You notice how sometimes, even in this last week, early in the morning, it would seem like there'd be a mist come in and go over the valley, and there wouldn't be a part of the environment that wouldn't have this fog cover or this mist cover. And it's influencing everything. And in this heat, it's bringing moisture to everything that it goes around. Well, the environment of heaven is to do that. One day, it'll come and influence all of the earth in such a way that it will influence every tree, it'll influence every plant, it'll influence every individual. Influence it with the environment of heaven. Now, I want you to know, as a believer in God, you have a glorious future. You have a glorious future. You have things to shout about. You have things to rejoice about because of the kingdom of God. You have things to rejoice about when you find your safety in Jesus. Now listen to this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. And the kingdom, this is talking about now when the invasion of the kingdom of heaven fully comes to earth. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve him. All of this is given to the saints of the Most High. Saints, in the Bible language, is simply Christians, people who call themselves Christians, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint. You're one who stands in the place where you are able to be a recipient of the greatness that's talking about in Daniel chapter 7. God has a great future for you. God has an awesome, awesome future for you. Now think about this. I seen something a survey was done with, this was done in the United States, about what you would do for $10 million. And some of the things were pretty shallow. You know, they had all kinds of things. Would you leave your spouse? So many put a percentage up there. Would you leave your family? And there was a percentage of them. Would you leave your country? And the percentage, there was a percentage that said, yes, I would for $10 million. Now, there was some pretty drastic things that some people would do for $10 million. And it also really speaks of where their character is. But think about this, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. This is far greater than $10 million. This is far greater. What will you do to advance this kingdom? What will you do? Will you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on Prince Edward Island as it is in heaven? Will you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in the nation of Canada as it is in heaven? Lord, will you bring your influence, the environment of heaven, over the nation of Canada, that we will serve God from sea to sea and from the rivers to the end of the earth? Will you do, Lord, what we believe was prophetically spoken about over the nation of Canada, that you will have dominion from sea to sea? Will you pray that will the angels here talk like that coming from the body of Christ so that they can do their thing in order to accomplish the word of the Lord? The influence of heaven is coming to earth in a greater measure. And we can choose to look at the things that the enemy does, or choose to open our eyes to the things that Jesus is doing and has done. You know, in the book of Romans, Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He's going to use us. God wants to use you and me. And the first thing he does, that when I knelt down by my bedside down in 1980, and I knelt down by my bedside and I said, God, Jesus, I don't know if you're real, but if you're real, come into my life. Change my life. I don't want to die and go to hell. And when I did, I actually, when I made that statement and confession, I actually crushed Satan as far as my personal salvation went. I put him under my feet. Because I got out of the kingdom of darkness, out of his rule and reign, got over into the kingdom of light, where Satan no longer had a legal attachment to me. I severed that attachment. And you did too if you gave your heart to Jesus. You severed that attachment with the God of this world, and you made your Jesus the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life. We all have to do it. We all have to crush him under. And crush means to break down, to trample on him. You begin to walk on him. And Margie sings that song, Put Satan Under Our Feet. That's what it's all about. It's realizing that you no longer have to serve the enemy. And I want you to know this morning, no matter what you're dealing with, the things that you might be going through, if it's not of heaven, you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to say that it's going to remain the same way forever. It doesn't have to remain that way for you. You can make a stand before Jesus and declare that his righteousness and holiness has delivered you from the powers of darkness, and you want to declare now the benefits of the kingdom of God, that he forgives all your sins, that he heals all your diseases, that he redeems your life from the pit, that he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what he thinks about you. What are you hearing the enemy, or what, pardon me, what are the angels hearing from your lips today? You need to ask yourself that question. What are they hearing you say? Because you are activating them one way or another. With most Christians, with many Christians, I should say, some of the things that come out of their mouth, I hope the angels are just turning around, putting their hands in their pocket because of some of the things that come out of their mouths. You see, you and I are people of faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we have to activate our faith, believing that the word of God is true, that he will accomplish his word, that his word are spirit and they are life. And I'm convinced if we really believe that, if we really believe those words, that Jesus' words are spirit and they are life, we'd never stop reading this. We'd constantly be in it. We'd read it every day. We would make sure that we take time to read the Word of God to get it into our spirits. Well, if we believe that his words are spirit and they're life, unless, of course, he lied. Unless, of course, Jesus lied. And this is, we have to make a decision on this. Did Jesus lie or didn't he? If he didn't lie and he said, my word is spirit and they are life, then when we read his word, we can expect to have life imparted to us. Zoe, the God kind of life. We can expect to have that imparted to us as we read his word. Don't let it go, not even for a day. I'm not saying you have to stick your nose in it and spend all morning reading the word, but take portions of the scripture. Allow it to wash over you. Get it into your spirit and begin to draw on the life of God that comes from the word. If you'll do that, it'll change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. So you don't have to be the way you are today. I thank God for that. I thank God I'm not what I was yesterday, but I thank God I don't have to stay where I'm at today. That God can move me. He can perfect that which concerns me, brings me into a better place. He's brought healing to my marriage over the years. He worked in me, changed me to a place where I'm perfect now. Perfect husband. Oh my God, let's not go there. Stand with me, please. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, you know everyone's heart in this place this morning. You know exactly what their need is. You know where they're at. You know, Father, what things they need to change in their life. You know, God, whether they've been more consumed with the things of this world or really desiring to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. Even in their own life, God, you know how much time they've given to seeking after you. Father, I think of Jesus' words that said, no man comes to me lest the Father draw him. So by your Holy Spirit, dear God, I pray you draw each one of us closer to Jesus today. That you would pull us, Father, with your compassion and love. God, your word says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Help us to be able to see the goodness that comes from God. Help us to be able to see the goodness that comes from you, Lord, that Jesus might be glorified in our lives, that he might be exalted, and that we would take him seriously, we'd take his word seriously, believe his word. And we thank you for it, God. I want to pray a prayer that if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life before, you have the opportunity to do that. And we're going to all pray it together. And as you pray this prayer, if you've never invited Jesus into your life before, just simply say in your heart, Lord, that's me. I want Jesus. You've prayed this prayer before, make it just a prayer of declaration, affirmation. Declaring that you belong to Jesus. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you caused us to realize that we need a Savior. We see Jesus as the Savior we need. We invite him now. Come into our lives. Change us. Cause us to be born again by the Spirit of God. Help us, Father, to walk in ways that would be honorable toward you. We thank you, God, for the grace that comes upon our lives to live for Jesus now. Now, Father, remove me from the kingdom of darkness. Bring me into the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you've... That is like a seed. Seeds are meant to grow. The Word of God comes to us like a seed. A seed takes time to germinate. A seed needs to be watered. A seed needs to be planted into good soil. So the word that you heard, and even that you prayed, is a seed that goes into you. Now, what you do with it is up to you. It needs to be watered. It needs, or the devil will come and snatch away the word, the Bible says. So if you've made that statement, if you've confessed that for the first time, make sure you get around people who can feed you. Feed your soul and bring you along in the things of God so that you can get solid in the things of the kingdom of God. Paul said, I pray, I travail in spirit until Christ is fully formed in you. See, he knew that there was a need to pray for those who just give their lives to Christ. And if you just give your life to Christ this morning, make sure that you tell somebody. Tell somebody so they can pray for you to be established in the faith.